Scripture reading is from, it's an epistle reading from a part of the Bible we don't read a whole lot. It's selected verses, the details are in the bulletin, from the last two chapters of the book of Revelation. John writes, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away.' And the one who's seated on the throne said, 'See, I am making all things new.' Also he said, 'Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true.' Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is a tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And he said to me, 'These words are trustworthy and true. For the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. See, I'm coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book.' The one who testifies to these things says, 'Surely I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Okay. Does anyone actually read sermon titles? One of the problems for the preachers, and Jen will know what I'm getting ready to talk about, is that sometimes the lady in the church office, the one who sees all and knows all and controls all, wants the bulletin title before the preacher of the week is finished working on the sermon. And the preacher, there's Jen is nodding again. Okay, preacher, shape up. There's no typo in the sermon title today. Our favorite Chinese restaurant in this area is the Red Sun over on Monroe Avenue. It's nice atmosphere, very good food, I recommend it. But if you go there, be warned, if they say spicy, they really, really, really mean it. A few of the menu items include tofu. I don't think I knew much about tofu a while back. I don't know much about it now. But it's a derivative of soy. It's used as a protein substitute in salads and soups and things like that. But our topic today is not about bean curd. It's not about tofu. But it's about one of the two Hebrew words that stand at the very beginning of the book of Genesis, the second verse of the book of Genesis. Genesis reads in the New Revised Standard Version, "In the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep." Formless void, says the New Revised Standard Version. The Hebrew word for formless, translated as formless and void, is tohu vabohu. Tohu vabohu. It almost rhymes. You can take it home. It'll be hard to work it into most conversations, but you take it home, it's free. The older King James Version said, without form and void. The New International Version translated, formless and empty. The Swiss Reformed theologian Karl Barth suggested that tohu vabohu, it appears before God's first creative word in Genesis, the tohu vabohu refers to those possibilities that God scornfully rejected when he began to say, let there be. What did God reject? God said, let there be light. And he thereby rejected darkness. When he said, let there be life for creatures and human beings, God rejected death. When he completed creation in an orderly Sabbath cycle, and then at the end declared it all to be good, he rejected disorder. But as the biblical scholar John Levinson observed, formlessness and meaninglessness, darkness and death and disorder, apparently overcome by God's creating word, let there be, began shortly thereafter to creep back from the void and make its presence known again on the earth. The first occasion was with the snake in the Garden of Eden. Disorder. Then the first people eating forbidden fruit cast from the garden because they no longer could be stewards of the garden. The first murder took place just after that, after their son Cain became an agent of death. And then tohu vabohu, chaos, seemed to dominate the earth even after the cleansing waters of the flood. Empires arose with no concern for other nations or for the welfare of their own people. God's own people were captured and made slaves. God's own nation adopted the ways of other lands despite the warnings of the prophets. Darkness, death. Disorder seems to have had full reign during the last century. The war to end all wars that ended about 100 years ago led to a second war, the Second World War, 20 years after that. 6 million people were killed because of their Jewish identity. We saw the news on Saturday morning, yet another madman with a gun killed bunches of people. When what happened again? Politics for the common good has somehow in the last decades reverted into my guy can beat up your guy. And reflective people will cry out with the saints of Revelation, Sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long will these things go on? How long until you judge and fix the earth and end the reign of tohu vabohu, of chaos, forever? The saints of Revelation, I just said. This has been a long introduction to our text from the book of Revelation, which were among the recommended texts for last Sunday and for this Sunday. And they're about the end of darkness and death and its order. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, see, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. This is a text that is often written about, often read at funerals, but John's vision is not really about heaven somewhere else and all the righteous assembled up there. It's a vision of the end, of all that brings darkness and death and disorder, of everything that tends to undermine God's plan for his creation. It's a vision of God descending here to transform the earth and its once corrupt cities into the new earth and the new city. When I began to work on this passage, I noticed how many commentators notice the placement of this passage in the canon of the scripture. The last two chapters of Revelation bracket and balance the first two chapters of Genesis. There is a river in Revelation, the same river as in Genesis. In Genesis, God creates the sun and the moon. In the new city, God himself is the light, and the sun and moon are not needed. In Genesis, the tree of life led to the exile of humankind from the garden. In Revelation, the tree of life, which never fails to bear fruit, is for the healing of the nations. There is no more tohu vabohu, challenging God's order, because Revelation tells us nothing accursed will be there anymore. No darkness, no death, no disorder, no fear of punishment for our sins, no dread of the outcomes of our own behavior. Why? Because what God promises is not just a quick repair job of the old state of affairs, but a new creation. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. And the one who is seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." The Bible story ends in chapter 22 of Revelation with a promise. "See, I am coming soon." And with a charge to John's readers, "The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let everyone who hears say, 'Come.' And let everyone who is thirsty come. Let everyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift." You ever get involved in a really eerie, spooky, sort of scary book? I don't get scared by things I read much, but I do remember a day when my spouse was out in a meeting, and when she got back, I was sitting on the front porch because I couldn't be in the same house as the book I was reading. You know what happens? When you get to that situation, you flip to the last chapter, right? You know who your main hero is, the detective named Sven, the lady, and you go to the end and you read is Sven still in the story? Is Maria still in the story? Are they okay at the very end? And then you're safe. Then you can continue to read, because the plot may still be gripping, even scary. But you can read it in peace, because you know how it ends. You know how it ends will be okay. The book of Revelation, its word is that disorder and chaos will not rule forever. "I am coming soon." Repeated three times in this last chapter of the Bible, Christ's victory, although not yet apparent, is sure. "I am coming soon." A little while later in the service, we'll have a time of prayer for healing. And maybe some of us are experiencing a lot of darkness these days. Awareness of death, or the possibility of death, awareness of disorder for ourselves and for others. The chaos we are experiencing may present us with medical or psychological or spiritual challenges, but we can pray for healing with confidence, because we know how God's story for ourselves and others comes out. And then a little later in the service, we'll receive the Lord's Supper. Gladly, boldly, even sinners like us can receive the Lord's Supper, with assurance of God's victory over all in the world that would hurt or destroy, because God will complete his work in Christ. As we say in the communion liturgy, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. This is God's doing, not the result of our own activity, not the result of the natural evolution of things in the universe, but we do have a part to play. Just about at the very end of our passage, the very end of the Bible, we read, the Spirit and the bride, the church, say, come, and that everyone who hears say, come. One commentator noted that to expect a friend for dinner is not an invitation to just passively sit back and do nothing and hope that he brings a good bottle of wine. But instead, to expect a friend for dinner is a matter of preparing things, making things are ready to prepare ourselves and others for the banquet to come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let everyone who hears say, come. Our task is not to bring in the city. Our task, as someone commented, is to staff the travel information centers on the road to the city, to make the information, the gospel, the good news that God's victory will come, to make those words available to all, and then to welcome all those who choose to dwell there. So come. Come and receive prayers as it is good for you to do so. Come to the Lord's table, and then let everyone who hears say, come. Let us pray. Lord God, you have declared your kingdom is among us. Open our eyes to see it, our ears to hear it, our hearts to hold it, our hands to serve it. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.